It is March the 31st, 2021. It is 10:30 a.m. This will be a concurrent meeting of the Swimming Pool Technical Advisory Committee, the Electrical Technical Advisory Committee, and the Mechanical Technical Advisory Committee. I would like to remind you all that we have almost 50 people on the line at the moment, so please be courteous in your comments. Please state your name when speaking, and please be mindful of any background noise. Typing on your keyboard, dogs barking, TVs on, or people talking close to you, all is picked up on the intercom, and it does interrupt the speaker. We will begin by calling roll. We will start with the electrical TAC, and please answer by saying here, TAC members. Charles Fisher.
Here. Yeah.
Neil Burdick. Ken Castronovo.
I'm here.
Brian Holland.
I am here, thank you.
Thank you. Shane Gerwig.
Here.
John Hall.
Here.
David Rice.
Here.
Joe Torito.
Here.
Clarence Tibbs.
I'm here.
Roy Vinwick.
Here.
And Vince Della Croce. We do have a quorum. Electrical technicians, let's go ahead and approve the agenda as posted. If you have no, well, we're not going to have any other options today. Need a motion and a second, please.
Rice, let me
see. Second.
Who made the motion?
David Rice.
Rice and Tibbs. Thank you. All those in favor of the agenda as posted, please vote by saying aye. Any opposed? Next, we'd like to approve the previous minute electrical TAC of March the 25th of 2020. If there are no recommended changes or corrections.
Yes, so moved.
Commissioner Fisher, second.
I'm sorry, did not hear the second.
Commissioner Fisher, second.
Mr. Fisher, thank you. All those in favor of the minutes, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We'll now move to the mechanical TAC. TAC members, please vote by saying, or answer by saying here for roll call. David John.
Here.
Oscar Kaleha.
Here.
Elizabeth Gall.
Here.
David Griffin, Daniel Griffin. Gary Griffin.
Here. Here.
Alex Fernandez. Alex Hernandez. Paul Jones.
Here.
Kenny Locke.
Here.
Don Pittman. Don, did we just hear from you? Pete Quintella?
I'm here.
Thank you. And Rick Sims?
Here.
Thank you. We also have a quorum for mechanical. Mechanical TAC, we'd like to approve the agenda as posted.
Move approval. Griffin. Gary Griffin.
Oscar Cahia, second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 I should like to approve the previous minute of January 31st of 2020, if there are no recommended changes or corrections.
Oscar.
Need a motion and a second.
Yeah. Oscar Cahill, I'll make the motion to approve.
Gary Griffin, I'll second.
Kaleha and Griffin, thank you. All those in favor of the motion to accept the previous minutes, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We will now move to the swimming pool tax. TAC members answer by saying here, please, for roll call. Jim Bath? Mr. Bath? Jordan Clarkson? Background noise, perhaps one of you has your phone loud, or you have on both the speaker on the computer and on a cell phone. We'll start roll call again. Jim Bat. Jordan Clarkson. Charles Fisher.
Here.
Michael Garacio.
Here.
John O'Connor.
Here.
Jim LaPetri.
Here.
Bob Vincent. John Waller.
Here.
August Erson.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum. Swimming pool TAC, would you please approve the agenda as posted?
Rossio, make a motion to approve the agenda as posted.
Waller.
Second.
Waller.
Second. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We would also like to approve the previous minutes of March the 24th of 2020. If there are no recommended changes or corrections.
O'Connor, move to approve.
O'Connor, second.
Waller, second.
Waller, all those in favor, vote by saying aye.
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 Thank you. I'm Marlita Peters. I'll help facilitate your meeting today. On the line, we have Thomas Campbell, Mo Madani, Justin Vogel, Joe Bigelow, Chris Howell, Jim Hammers, Norman Bellamy, and Chip Sellers as staff. Are there any other staff that would like to be recognized for the recording? Hearing none, are there any guests who would like to be recognized for the recording?
Raymond Issa.
Thank you, Dr. Issa. Any other guests? All right. Hearing none, our first item on the agenda to review and accept the interim draft report for a research project titled Evaluation of the Cost, Impact, and Benefit of the 2021 ICO Changes. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you are on multiple tacks. You will be allowed to vote separately. Mr. Madani, would you like to introduce our subject? Mr. Madani, are you on the line? Ladies and gentlemen, give us just a moment to get Mr. Madani's connection clear.
Hello, this is Neil Burdick. I had trouble getting in. I'm on the electrical tech. I'm here now.
Thank you, Neil. Do we have any other TAC members that have joined the line?
I think Jim, because Jim is, he needs to unmute.
Mo, we hear you now. Go ahead, please.
Oh, okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah, this is Mo Madani. Good morning. As stated on the agenda, today we will mainly hear from Dr. Issa the status of the project titled Evaluation of the Cost, Impact, and Benefits of the 2021 International Building Code Prescriptive Code Changes. The The main purpose of this project is mainly to assess the cost impact and qualitative benefit of the changes to the 2021 International Building Code that are prescriptive in nature and that have the potential of adding cost to construction. This is a project by the commission for this year research program. This project, probably you have seen a similar project to it during the prior code update processes. We do this project every time we are in the process of updating the Florida building code, and the purpose of it, as stated here, is to really provide qualitative or quantitative assessment of the international code changes, in this case the 2021 code changes to the I code, and ultimately, you know, and the final report, you will see that this cost analysis would look at a specific type of buildings and so on. So with us today, Dr. Issa, to give us the status of the project. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Thank you, Mo. I'll start with the mechanical changes. So E15-18 Part 2 requires an additional door on mechanical rooms that are more than 1,000 square feet, and that would, the cost increase is 427-18 illumination level under normal power. That would add a $1 per square foot, room square foot cost. E3318 stairway or elevator access, that would add a $4 per square foot cost. Then we have EB94-18, which is a means of egress, lighting and exit signs, and two-way communication systems requirement. That would add about $2 per square foot. Then the IMC changes summary, 25-18, changes some definitions that would add 50 cents per fan CFM. M35-18 adds a new definition for 502.20.1 operation, and that would add a dollar per room square foot. 47-18 describes grease duct horizontal cleanouts and location and grease reservoirs, and that would add 50 cents per fan CFM, whereas E15-18 Part 2 means of egress, adding two doors for rooms over 1,000 square foot would add $2 per room square foot. Then we have RM15-18, which is describes duct terminations and exhaust ducts shall terminate on the outside of the building is the requirement, and will have openings and openings and ventilated soffits, and this may increase the cost by $75 per dryer with extended ducts. RM2918 talks about systems control, and to include text or symbol indicating their function, which is a minimum of $50 each increase in cost. RM33-18 describes ceiling, requiring the building cavities used as plenum shall be sealed. That would require $2 per square foot increase in cost. And RM34-18, the block vent switch, that would require $150 per unit increase in cost. Next, we go to the NEC changes in FR 7705, Article 210.8A, adds 250 volt receptacles and removes Amherst limitations to the GFPI protection for dwellings, and that would increase the cost by about $125 per unit. The FR8120 GFCI added for finished as well as unfinished basements, as all dwellings basements are prone to moisture and flooding. That would add $15 per receptacle. FR8121 GFCI added for indoor damp and wet locations of building. Of course, that's another, that's also $15 per receptacle. GFCI added for accessory buildings of non-dwellings, that's $15 per receptacle. Also, FR8126, GFCI added for laundry area, that's $15 per receptacle. 8127, GFCI added for location within 6 feet of bathtub or shower in a non-dwelling, that's also $15 per receptacle. And the last receptacle is GFCI required for receptacles for equipment requiring servicing in non-dwellings, and that's $15 per receptacle. 210.12 add protection to a patient's sleeping rooms in nursing homes and limited care facilities. That would cost $50 per circuit. The AFCI protection for the guest rooms and suites for renovations is also $15 per circuit. 210.5.2 adds receptacle requirements to garages in multifamily dwelling, and that's $75 per garage. Then you have FR8075 on section article 220.12. The table is revised, and the cost in this case varies based on the load calculations. FR8459 requires barriers to be placed in service equipment such as no insulated ground grounders, service bus bar, service terminal exposed, and that would be a minimal cost for safety requirement. 230.67 is changed to add surge protection to dwelling unit services, and that would be $150 per 200 amp service. 230.71 is revised to retain the 6 service disconnect rule for services. And the cost varies here depending on the type of work that's needed. 230.85 requires outdoor accessible mounted emergency disconnects for 1 and 2 family dwellings. That would be an increase of $475 per 200 amp service. 240.67C requires performance testing of arc energy reduction systems whenever systems are required, and that would be about $1,000 per test. 240.87C requires performance testing of arc energy reduction systems when the systems are required. That would be also $1,000 per test. 250.64B2 and 3 a required PVC conduit is used for physical protection. Schedule 8AD is required when it's used. That's a minimal increase in cost. 250.109 allows metal enclosures to be used as a 422.5A added sump pumps and bottle fill stations to GFCI requirements, and that would be a $50 increase in the per device. 445.18D adds requirement for a means to shut down the prime mover of other than cord and plug connected generators in 1 and 2 family dwellings, and that would be $500 for event. 480.7 for 1 and 2 family dwellings, you need a disconnecting means of a remote control for a stationary battery system, and that's $500. Also, 518.6, an assembly occupancy fixed service equipment installed outdoors, so you need a means to cut that off also, and that would be $500 per occurrence for recreational vehicles and recreational vehicle parks first polarity device on 120 volt service. And that would be $100, and the 551.41B requires at least one receptacle in areas for transporting internal combustion engines. That would be $50. Also, dishwashers and laundry equipment require GFCI protection. That would be $50. Also, it's $100 for GFCI protection personnel. For outlets not exceeding 240 volts, a supply of boat voice installed and dwelling unit dock facilities. Uh, 600.5B requires disconnecting means for sign outline lighting system. It's $25. It's $50 for the change. Requiring field marking of enclosures for selectivity coordinated occurrences. As far as swimming pools, fountains, and similar installations, if you have a pool pump motor in 680.21C is replaced for maintenance or repair, the replacement pump motor shall be provided with ground fault circuit interrupter protection, and the cost here varies. Wind electrical systems for one and two family dwellings, the disconnecting means or manual shutdown button is required, and that's $250. Requirements added for one family and two family dwellings, the disconnecting means or its remote control shall be located at a readily available location. That's under $500. Bypass isolation automatic transfer switches. The cost of these vary. Uh, 710.10, where multiple sources supply the building, the plaque or directory shall be marked with wording multiple sources. That would be a $50 cost for the plaque. A building supplied by a DC microgrid system shall have a permanent plaque or directory installed. Of course, that plaque is also $50. And that's the extent of the presentation for today.
Thank you, Dr. Issa. We'll go by TAC to ask any clarifying questions. We'll begin with the electrical TAC. Anyone from there with questions or comments?
Oh, yes. Good morning. This is Brian Holland. I have a few questions.
Go ahead, Brian.
I've lost a screen, but I'm not sure if we're not sharing anymore. But in any case...
No, we're not.
On table 8, this is just an editorial issue. The cost impact is indicating the IFGC instead of the NEC. So I just think that header.
Header is wrong. You're correct.
Yeah, not a big deal. The second issue, which I think is the bigger issue for me, is that the document in our agenda stops at Article 427. So all the criteria that you just identified from Article 430 to the end of the code, I haven't had an opportunity to actually review that. So I wouldn't be comfortable agreeing on any of those values until I saw that document. Now, all the criteria that's been identified from Article 90 through Article 427, I'm comfortable with just five clarification pieces, if that's possible. And that would be on page 312. If we start at 110.26C2, it indicates that there's a cost increase associated with the change that occurred for large equipment. It actually doesn't change the electrical installation costs. What it does do is it changes the area or room space requirements that are going to be needed, as we've clarified exactly how to calculate that large equipment when you have combination ratings of service equipment. So in this case, I think that section probably needs to be shared with the structural tech, because if somebody elects to install multiple service disconnecting means that achieve that 1200 amp rating, they're going to be required to have the two means of egress and the additional clearance spaces and, of course, the door swing issue. So I just think that should be clarified, that it really actually doesn't change the cost of the electrical installation. The capacity that's required for the building doesn't change. If the capacity for the building is 1200 amperes or more, it doesn't really matter how you do your configuration, whether it's a single panel board or if you do it in multiple panel boards that equate to 1200 amperes. The second one, and this one might be a little picky, but I'm going to mention it anyway. On page 314, identify a $15 per receptacle requirement for the GFCI expansion that occurred between 210.8A5 and 210.8E, which is at the bottom of the page. And I would just, again, just clarify that when it comes to the 210.8A for the dwelling unit, which would be the expansion for basements and for indoor damp and wet locations, 210.8A5 and 8A11. While you would be required to have receptacles depending on wall space in those areas, you would only need to have one GFCI. You could protect the branch circuit with a circuit breaker, or you would have GFCI protection at the first receptacle outlet. So it's really $15 maximum, not per receptacle. It would be very unconventional for an installer to put a GFCI device at every receptacle in those spaces rather than protect all the receptacles in those spaces with an upstream GFCI. So again, not a big deal. But under the 210.8B criteria, 210.8B8 through 210.8E, it's kind of the same thing, except you're not even required to have receptacles in these spaces. So you're not required to have receptacles in commercial buildings whatsoever. If somebody elects to have receptacles in these spaces and it happens to meet the thresholds in 210.8B, then you would have to provide GFCI protection. But again, it wouldn't be for every receptacle. It would be protection of all receptacles in that space. And since it's non-dwelling locations, you can actually provide that GFCI protection from another circuit that's already required to be GFCI protected. In that case, there would be no additional cost to GFCI protect these spaces if you were borrowing from another circuit. And then I just have two more I'll mention on page 319 under 230.62. Specifically the requirement for barriers. This is actually not a new requirement. So that's 230.62C. That's just a relocated section. So 230.62C used to be 400.83. So right now, under the 7th edition Florida Building Code that's adopted in 2017 NEC, this requirement is in 408.3. It just got relocated to 230.62C under the 2020 code, and it didn't change the rule. And further, these barrier requirements are baked into the product standard for switchboard, switchgear, and panel boards. So the barriers are already provided by the manufacturer per those standards, and they have been since the 2017 NEC edition. So nobody's going to see any changes in cost, design, or installation for 230.62C. And then the last two that I'll mention is 230.71 at the bottom of page 319 and 230.85. So 230.71 indicates an increased cost. There's actually no new requirement in 230.71. There's nothing new. It actually just removed an option that is permitted now under the 2017 NEC. So there's only an increased cost if you elected to do a multi-service disconnecting means arrangement and no longer can do that under the 2020 NEC. But you were never required to do that anyway. And so your meter packs, Your multi-service disconnecting means to have internal barriers. All those are still compliant and wouldn't change anything. This simply just means that you can't have a back fed or a main lug only, and then use up to 6 disconnecting means within that single panel board enclosure. It just eliminates an option, doesn't add a new requirement. And on page 320 for the 23085, it's kind of the same thing. It is a new requirement. I'm not going to take that away, but again, it only changes how you design your service equipment to a 1-2 family dwelling. You are not, right now, you're not prohibited from having an outdoor main disconnect. Matter of fact, that's a very popular option. I do agree that if your typical arrangement was a back-to-back, right? So for typical 1-2 family dwellings, especially CMU construction, you typically will see outdoor meter, indoor main, back-to-back, and you would not have your outdoor emergency disconnect needs. If you just elected to continue with that arrangement, you could put an outdoor emergency disconnect between the meter and the indoor main. And I agree, it's probably going to cost you $475 to do that. Or you could do a meter main combo, which is also very popular installation today. And you've already met the requirement. You have your main disconnecting means that's required, and you have your emergency disconnecting means. And then you just install a main lug panel on the inside. So again, it is a new requirement, but it doesn't actually add a new thing that's or a new product that didn't already exist in the industry today. So I would say that it would be like a maximum of $475 if that was elected, but you're not even required to do that option. You could achieve this 23085 with common practices today under 2017 NEC. And with that, I don't have any other objections from that point forward through 427. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holland. Do we have any other questions or comments from anyone on the electrical tack? Hearing one from the mechanical tack with questions or comments.
This is Oscar. I have.
Go ahead, Mr. Clayhawk.
No, my question is regarding the pricing of these items. In the last sheet, the last page, gives you the assumptions that they make, and basically they're using today's dollars for pricing, and this code won't go into effect until 2024. So I usually see that the costs are tend to be on the low side, so I would suggest that they have some kind of an inflation factor, especially after the last month or 2 or 3 months, we've been getting increases in everything. Metal, fiberglass, everything has gone up tremendously. So I would suggest that they have an inflation factor figured in so that it would represent the cost at the start of the 2024 COVID effect. But that's my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Kaleha. Anyone else from the mechanical tack with questions or comments?
Yeah, I'm not sure if my question is the same as the gentleman from the electrical tack. This is Gary Griffin. When I opened the evaluation of cost impact benefit link that was part of the agenda, I get a 563-page PDF report. And that's not what we were just reviewing. So I guess my question is, are we approving the 563-page report that was in our agenda, or are we approving what was just shown to us, which apparently hasn't been provided to us?
This is Mo Madani. I think, you know, this report that was put together, it encompasses a research project that looks at all the code changes from the 2021 International Building Code. So it has mechanical, plumbing, structural. So all what you are, if as a tax, you only accepting the part that is within your specific area of responsibility. So if it's a you only kind of accepting, in this case of a mechanical tax, you're accepting the mechanical aspect of it. Plumbing, you're mainly accepting the plumbing review.
Okay, so are you saying that what was reviewed are simply excerpts from the larger report? I assume that was the case, but I was trying to go back.
Yes, sir. What's being reviewed is part of the report. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So we are. So the question was, which report are we approving?
You're accepting whatever on the agenda. There is a large report which has all the review. So you're accepting, when you're accepting the report, you're accepting that area of responsibility. You're reviewing, if you're the mechanical, you're accepting the mechanical part of it. Okay.
All right. And then just one more quick question. Looking at the timeline or in the overview section on page one, is this the final acceptance or is this the, are we going to see this again? Because we're all the way through the progress today. We're about halfway. Are we going to see it one more time or more than one more time before it's final?
This is an interim report. So the next time you see it, it will be a draft final report, early June.
Okay. So we'll see it at least one more time. There's some obvious errors, for instance, on page 11 of the larger report, which is what we were given to look at. I wish we were given the smaller report. I don't know why we weren't, but apparently we were required to go through 563 pages instead. For instance, the air movement in corridors is not, the benefit of that change is not to amend the electric vehicle charging station. That obviously was put in the wrong cell. So there are those kinds of errors. I don't know if that was corrected in what this gentleman just showed us, but on page 11 and 12, there's no question that air movement in corridors has nothing to do with electric vehicle charging stations. It obviously belongs with the next change, which is on page 12. So I assume they'll look through and correct those types of editing errors.
I think really as a committee member, if you feel that there you have specific comments on any of the, feel free to send your comment to me, and I'll be glad to forward those to Dr. Issa. So if you have specific things that you would like to have corrected and all that, I'll be glad to really forward that to Dr. Issa.
One last question. Can we see the smaller report? Can we get access to that?
Smaller report? There's only one report at this point. Is what we have on the agenda. Now, if it's really, it's not broken down. It is broken down by subject area. Mechanical is mechanical. Electrical.
Right, I'll take that as a no. We can't see it. All right. We can't see what
it's available on the... I'm not sure what you're saying you can see it. It's available on the agenda.
Okay. All right.
Well, this is David John. I think what we're asking for is the summary of what was covered. Rather than have to go through the whole document again, is it possible just to send the items that were covered?
Okay. Or are you asking for the presentation?
Yes, that's what I... That's what
okay, if you're asking for a copy of the presentation, sure, Dr. Issa will be glad to make it available to you guys. And he can send it to me, and I'll make it available to you guys. Is that okay, Dr. Issa?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mechanical tax members, any further questions or comments?
Yes, this is from the electrical tax. I think maybe some of the confusion is when I look at the...
Excuse me, sir. There's an echo.
I'm sorry. I may have issues with audio. I'll put back in.
You might want to pick up your phone instead of speaker. Just a moment, Kenny. Yes, ma'am. Who is trying to speak, please? Kenny, go ahead until we figure out who was trying to speak.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I had a question regarding the change on page 72 with M47-18, greased horizontal cleanouts. That one is a new clarification within the mechanical code. However, those requirements already exist in NFPA 96 2014 edition, section 7.3.7. So I don't know if the intent is to, and I apologize, I'm new to the committee, so I don't know if the intent with this particular presentation and report is to identify the mechanical code changes that have cost increase, despite if it's already covered by another standard enforced within the state, or if it's should consider that type of implication.
Mr. Madani?
Well, I think at this point, if it's really and if you propose it, we'll take under consideration. I think Dr. Issa mainly is looking at really what's required by the international codes, 2021, the changes. So, yeah, if, you know, I'm not sure. Dr. Issa, do you look at more than just what's stated in the I code? Do you go to another resource?
Just look at the I code. Just an I code.
Okay, I understand that, and I appreciate that response.
But information from your end, if you're aware of something that already covered, do please provide the comment to Dr. Issa, or to me, I would be glad to forward Dr. Issa so that he could really include it in the analysis. So, sure.
We'll do, and I also agree with the previous statement that it does look like the benefit of change comments got out of sequence in a couple of areas, and so just encourage Dr. Issa to have his team review that and make sure that they're appropriate, and I appreciate the time. Thank you.
This is Oscar Calleja. To add to that comment, I cleared this up. This report shows changes to the international code only. It's not comparing the changes to our code. So this would only mean the difference between the old international code and the new international code. Is that correct?
Correct.
Exactly.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. That's it.
And by adopting the report, you're not adopting the modification into the code. You're only adopting the report of what occurred with the international 2021 international code. That's all you're adopting.
Maria, we're not adopting the code. We're only accepting the report. You're only accepting analysis and information with regard to those code changes. That's all. We're not adopting anything.
Exactly.
This is Kenny Locke again.
Go ahead, Kenny.
Thank you. So I understand that in the cost analysis that there has to be some method to establish what the cost increase would be. On page 71 and change M35-18 for exhaust fan controls for manicure and pedicure stations, the impact cost was $1 per square foot. And I'm not exactly sure the methodology that's used to come up with that type of cost increase. And I understand that a lot of cost estimations are done on cost per square foot for commercial buildings, residential buildings, when you're trying to do rough estimations. And maybe that's the best way to do this. But if you had 1,000 square foot nail salon, and you wanted to say that the cost increase to actually have continuous ventilation when the space is occupied for the nail stations was $1,000. I think that's a bit extreme, considering they could simply put a relay in or a contactor and wire up the exhaust fan to be on anytime the lights are on in the building. It'd be a very minimal increase. So I think there are, based on how the designer chooses to do it, there are some very cost-effective ways to do that. But I do understand the difficulties in trying to come up with some type of mechanism and standardized pricing point. I just don't know that that was the most accurate one there. I saw some others that said that varies. That might have been an appropriate tag for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Locke. Anyone else from the mechanical tag with questions or comments?
Yes, this is Rick Sims. Are we approving amount? Are we approving amounts today, or just accepting a report that's reporting that amount? We're not approving the amounts, right?
You're not approving the amounts. You're only accepting the report in general. So you're only accepting the report.
But that's what they say the amount should be, right? Okay.
Mo, this is David. Can we accept the report? On the comments we heard, there's some errors in it. Can we accept it, assuming the errors are going to be addressed?
You can make your motions to accept the report with the understanding that the comments will be addressed in the report. Sure, Dr. Issa, will be glad to. Review the comments. We will make sure that the recording of the meeting will be available to Dr. Issa to really review your comments and adjust the report as necessary. Sure.
Because my concern is we heard some of the members talk about one or two examples, so I'm thinking they need to check the whole document again to make sure that there's not repetitive errors. I doubt very much if we identified all of them, right? So, and I don't think they're major errors, but just have somebody check the document again for the errors that we pointed out and make sure it's not reoccurring.
Dr. Asa?
We plan to do that, yes.
And you'll see the final draft in the beginning of June. Is there anyone from the swimming pool tech with additional questions or comments? Hearing none, we will accept a motion. Let's begin with the electrical tech. Accept a motion to accept the draft report with the recommended changes or corrections.
Probably it is Shane Gerwig.
Neil Burdick, I think I mentioned.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Rice, I'll second that motion.
Gerwig and Rice, is there any further discussion, TAC members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to accept the draft report with the recommended changes and corrections, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Mechanical tech, would you like to make a motion for the same language to accept the draft report?
This is David John. I would go beyond the recommended changes and say the document needs to be reviewed by the author to make sure, because I don't think we covered all the changes that are on there. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying make it a little bit broader than the recommended changes that we covered today, because there may be more.
Do we have a second?
This is Oscar. I'll second that motion. I agree with the judge.
Thank you. Any further discussion, mechanical type members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as stated, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed on mechanical tack? And now to the swimming pool tack. Would someone like to make a motion or an alternative motion?
Rossi will make a motion.
Don Waller, second.
Mr. Garasio, is that the same motion as the electrical tack or is the mechanical tack? The draft report?
This is Mo Magdani. I think really with regard to the swimming pool tack, we didn't hear any comments on the report with regard to the swimming pool tack. So if you want to accept the report, they're only accepting it with regard to those code changes that's related to swimming pool.
Yes, I'd like to accept.
Mr. Garasio.
I'd like to accept the report as submitted, as presented. Sorry.
Thank you. Mr. Waller, you accept that as a second?
Yes, Marlena.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion on the swimming pool tag, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Is there any other TAC business to be brought forward by any of the TACs or TAC members at this time? Hearing none, do we have anyone from the public with comments? With nothing from anyone, ladies and gentlemen, it's 11:22 a.m. We'll consider this meeting adjourned, and we thank you all very much for your time and attention. Have a good day.
Thank you, guys. Thank you all.